Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we're going to be reading a story called The Contortionist. This was sent in by Jarrett. I hope you enjoy this story, and a huge thank you to you, Jarrett, for sending this in. Let's get started. You step through the striped flaps of the tent and look around. Your feet settle against yellow strands of hay as the faint scent of fried food wafts into your nostrils. The dirt path stretches on before you, and you give in to the temptation to walk down it. On either side of you, cages of strange oddities breeze past. The world's largest man, a woman fortune teller with a third eye in her forehead, and a pair of Siamese twins. You shake off the unease that prickles the nape of your neck. You're not sure why you're here at all. The sign out front had said free admission, and perhaps that's all this is. A simple excursion. A side trip. Yet you feel lulled to something in the back of the tent. You can't be sure what it is, but something in your gut tells you that you'll know it when you see it. You stop at the very back corner of the tent. You look up at the faded sign with colorful green lettering. It simply reads, The Contortionist. You strain your neck to get a better view inside of the tall cage, yet there is no performer inside, only absence. This perplexes you. Your eyes catch instead on a small wooden lockbox resting on the dirt floor, its surface scarred with scratches as though some animal had clawed at the grain. It is no larger than a jack-in-the-box, easily small enough to hold in one hand, yet the sight of it unsettles you. Beside it sits a simple stool, its legs chewed, hollowed by termites. Above a pole of sanded wood stretches horizontally across the width of the cage, suspended from the ceiling by rusted hooks. It sways faintly, though there is no breeze, at least not one you can feel. The hay at your feet prickles your ankles, and you feel a shiver crawl the length of your spine as the small lockbox shifts slightly. The movement is almost imperceptible to you, so slight you might have imagined it, but the box gives a soft scrape as its corner drags against the dirt. You lean closer, squinting your eyes in the dim light. No one around you seems to notice, if they even bother looking in the cage at all. They shuffle on, their attention already drifting toward the next exhibit. Then, from inside the box, you hear it. A knock. Once. Twice. Then the lid opens. You gasp and clutch at your chest, heart hammering away so fast you feel like it'll split your ribs. Then, impossibly, a pair of toes presses upward through the gap of the box, so pale they look blue. The rest of the foot follows, glistening with sweat. The nails cracked, the bed a splotchy, discolored purple. Raised veins run beneath the thin flesh like a stream through eroded rock, pulsating faintly in time with your heartbeat. Yes, your heartbeat. The hammering against your chest wall has synced with the pulsation from the contortionist. Upon this realization, you step back, intensely bothered, but something lulls you back in, closer this time. You step over the red rope, keeping observers back until your face is pressed right up against the cool metal bars of the cage. The toes grope, searching blindly, the joints cracking like shelled nuts until they hook against the box's rim. Then the foot slides free, the ankle snapping into place as if sent back in its socket. The sound would normally draw bile to the back of your throat, but now, in this trance, it mesmerizes you. The other foot unspools itself next, then the legs. They hang there for a breathless moment, pointing skyward before bending sharply at the knees. The sound is awful, like twigs snapping underfoot. And then you see the wide flare of hips as they emerge from the box. The pale mound of pubic area slick with sweat, hair wiry and untrimmed. There is no mistaking it. She is a woman, naked and folded inside a box you could fit in your palm. Her body defies every law of nature you've ever known. The legs flex again, snapping with insectile precision before lowering to the ground. The calf muscles strain as her arms spill forth next. For a moment, they look rubbery and lifeless, until the joints twist suddenly, elbows bending backward before snapping forward with a whip crack. Her fingers rake the air, Nails split and rigid, grasping at nothing. She pushes against the dirt floor, unfolding herself further, vertebrae uncoiling one by one like beads on a string. Her abdomen slides free, impossibly compressed, skin stretched so thin it looks like wet paper. As her body comes into view, you can feel every pop of bone, every wet shift of tendon, as if she has burrowed inside you. Her torso arches at an ungodly backbending angle, ribs buckling inward instead of expanding. But for a moment, her spine bows so far back you're certain it will snap. But then it slithers back into place with a sickening clatter of vertebrae. It sounds like wooden beads sliding on an abacus. The sound ricochets inside your chest, your sternum aching as though each bone in your body is mimicking hers. At last, her head emerges from the box, the eyes blazing a dark emerald green. Her hairless scalp shimmers in the overhead light as her gaunt, angular face stares into you. Her lips part, showcasing her toothless gums, and she speaks without her lips moving. "Shall I perform a dance for you?" The sound is a hissy whisper inside your head. For a moment, you wonder if she's telepathic. You don't need to reply. She already knows the answer is yes. Her bare feet patter against the dirt floor as she rises, joints cracking like a campfire. She stands beneath the suspended rod, her emerald eyes never leaving yours, and for a moment, you think she might attempt something ordinary like a warm-up stretch. Instead, she delicately steps up on the stool and locks out both arms in front of her. Then, she leaps off the stool, her body plummeting towards the ground. On her way down, she catches the wooden rod on the back of both elbows, her momentum abruptly halted. The impact, forceful enough to snap the bones in anyone else's arms, is sickening. They snap backward on impact, bending the wrong way before settling grotesquely around the wood. She dangles there like a marionette, and you stand there entranced by the trauma. Then she begins to move. No, rather, she begins to coil like a snake. Her body winds around the wood with a slow, deliberate squeeze, her pronounced veins dragging noisily against the beam. Her hips twist, thighs wrapping tighter as she presses flush against the rod, grinding along its path as though she's wringing it dry. Her abdomen stretches, ribs jabbing outwards at sharp splintering angles until her spine corkscrews full circle around the wood. The sound is unbearable. Tendons snap like rubber bands, bones shatter like glass, her pale blue skin reddens, veins raised and bulging so violently you can see them surge beneath her flesh. Suddenly they begin to burst against the rod. Purple liquid gushes from her body, staining the yellow hay a sickly violet. She tightens further. The wooden rod groans under the pressure, hooks above squealing against the canvas beams. Her body spirals up and down the pole in sections. First the legs, then the abdomen, then the chest, as though she is a snake digesting it inch by inch. Her head dangles free, upside down, green eyes locked on you. Her lips peel back as she whispers inside your skull with each tightening coil. "Now, reach out to me." Your hand reaches out, though you don't recall willing it. The iron bars feel cool against your fingertips, grounding you for one fragile heartbeat. Then her own hand lashes forward, pale and veined, pressing against yours through the bars. The contact is electric. A hot, crawling sensation surges up your arm, as if fire ants were tunneling beneath your skin. You try to yank back, but your muscles refuse you. Her veins bulge as she tightens her grip. You feel the bones in your hand crack as you feel something move inside her. Not blood, not fluid, but something alive, wriggling, forcing its way into you. Something parasitic. It enters at your palm. You feel it split into branching paths, crawling beneath the skin of your wrist, then racing upwards. Your chest locks, lungs seizing, as though whatever has afflicted her is grafting itself onto your own. Each pop of her bones is mirrored by a sharp stabbing ache deep inside your own. Her voice floods your skull, no longer a whisper but a command. "You carry my burden. You will suffer as I have. You will dance as I have." Her emerald eyes blaze brighter as she peels herself from the rod, her coils unspooling with a wet sucking sound. She drops to the dirt in a boneless heap, her eyes losing focus. They glaze over, her jaw agape. Death has consumed her. The pressure in your chest eases. Her hand slips away. You stumble back from the bars, gasping, clutching your sternum. The ground beneath your feet feels wrong. When you glance down, you see dark veins spreading across your skin, pulsing faintly in rhythm with a heartbeat that no longer feels like your own. You turn and stagger down that same dirt path, past the cages of oddities. None look at you. The tent flaps part as you step out into the cool night air, but something stirs inside you. Out of curiosity, you pull your index finger back. It bends like rubber. You pull harder. Your fingernail touches the top of your wrist. Inside your mind, the voice again. Now, you will bend as I have. And that's the end of the story. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, I'd appreciate it if you liked the video. If you're on YouTube or anywhere else, let me know your thoughts. And yeah, I guess that's about it. Hey, subscribe if you'd like to. I mean, that'd be great. Subscribe or follow on, I don't know, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, what have you. But hey, I just wanted to let you know that it's very windy where I am right now. It's not the announcement you wanted, but it's the announcement you got. Take care now. Bye-bye then.